Begin the current daf mesach pesachim daf nenalf. Begin on the bottom of nun mem beis, two lines up from the bottom of the omid. But the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which was the topic of our mishnah and of this mesach regarding minhagim. Specifically, we're talking about the minhag of erev pesach not to do malacha from the morning till chatzos. Now, our previous daf spoke about the halachic requirements of following in the minhag, as it says in the pasuk val titosh teres emecha. Now, our daf will be speaking about certain minhagim that were mistaken. What is the halacha in such a situation? So it says that the people of Chizoy, their minig was, their custom was that they would separate the chiv of challah, which is when one has one of the five types of grains, to separate a portion which is called challah given to the kohen. They would separate challah from rice. Now, they came and told Rav Yosef what was going on over here. They were taking challah and doing something which was a mistake in halacha on taking it from rice, and that was their custom. So Amalehu said to them, let a zar, a non-kohen, go ahead and take the challah and eat it. And like, what? What's going on? If it's only for a kohen, they'll know because you're doing something wrong. There is no challah. It's taken from rice. But Abaya asked Rav Yosef, we learned the braisa, devarim hamutarim, things which are permitted. However, others have the minig. Their custom is to say that this is forbidden. Continue at the top of Nunalav and Menalav. You are not allowed to make it permit in front of them. If that's their minig for something that's forbidden, you can't go ahead and say that it's permitted. So how are you telling them to go ahead and consume this chal in front of them? Although they're wrong, their minig is to say that's us. You can't go ahead and make it permit in front of them. So Amaloi, he said to them, but v'lav mi'itmar lo, didn't we explain in that braisa that Amr of Chizr, said that that's b'kutai. That's only for regarding the Kuthians, who they are very, as the Gemara explains, that and therefore it's only by the Kuthians, and therefore what does that have to do with Yidden, by Jews, where they're doing something wrong? So therefore, definitely you can go ahead and tell them that it's permitted what they're doing, it's not necessary. But on that, Abaya asks, "Kutai my time." Wait a second. What is the reason why Rav Chiz has said that this applies to the Kathins? Mishrim de Misarchi Milsa, because they're going to do it overboard. They're going to say, "Oh, there's no challah." They're going to go even more lenient. They're going to be mezalz in the whole halachas of challah, and therefore we don't want to be lenient, even though it's something that's really permitted. We don't want to start making it saying, "Oh, yeah, the rabbis and this and that. It really don't have to keep challah at all. It was just made up." So we're not going to make it permitted, although essentially it is permitted. And therefore, Hanach and Shinami, these people too, that since they weren't learned people, Sarchi Milsa, they're also going to make it worse. And therefore, Bai is asking that although we're saying that you're right, that there's no chiv bachlal of taking challah from the rice, it's only from Dagan, but the problem is they're going to even stop taking challah from Dagan. So how can you go ahead and have them to show them that it's not challah if it's going to make it worse? And essentially, just like the case of the Kutim. Elam of Rashi, rather, Ravashi says we do as follows. Chazina, we'll see. If most of the people of Chazoy eat rice, then then a non-kohen should not eat their quote-unquote challah that they're taking from the rice. And the reason is, because then they're going to forget the whole halacha of challah that applies, because since the majority of their breads are all rice bread, and if you're going to stop them from taking off challah from the rice, because it's not the halacha, they're going to forget to take off challah at all, even when they make it with one of the five grains. So therefore, don't stop them in such a situation. Well, however, if the majority of them do eat grain, then you could have a non-kohen eat in front of them. And the reason is, although there's that problem of that you can't, because, and in this case, essentially, they are like kutins because they're not learned and they're going to end up being lax. However, we have to stop them. And the reason is because dilma asila afrushe, there's two concerns. Maybe they're going to separate challah min hachiv ala pater from something that is chayiv on something that's exempt. And that is, they might be mafrish from the grain, which is chayiv in challah, and they're going to take off a piece of dough, let's say that they're making from wheat flour, to exempt the rice bread that they're making, which is exempt from the chiv of challah, because it doesn't apply to rice. And then, essentially, they're going to be feeding the kohen tevel, which is untithed produce, because when you take off challah, so the challah becomes challah, and the rest now becomes edible because now you're permitted to eat it because you took off challah. But here there is no chaloi shame of challah on the grain because it's only challah if it's being taken to exempt what you're taking from. But since the rice is not mechuyim challah, it comes out that this now what you're giving to the kohen is not challah because what is it challah for? For rice? But the rice doesn't have challah. So essentially you're giving him tevel, something that didn't have challah taken from it, and therefore we're concerned about that. If we don't let them know that there is no challah on rice, they might think you have to take off challah from rice. And when they're giving this portion of challah, they'll take from the other dough, of the flour dough, and then you're taking from something that's chayiv on pater, and that's a problem because that's challah, that which you're quote unquote using as challah, which is really the five grains, is a problem. It does have to have challah, and it's not good for challah because it's on something that's exempt. And also, we're concerned that mina pater alachiv. They might go to take something that's exempt. In other words, they might be taking off. Let's say they have two doughs, one of rice and one of flour. They're going to say, okay, let's give our challah from all these doughs, let's give a portion to the kohen. They're going to take from the rice, because rice is the same as five grains, they think, if we don't teach them this. They're going to take off from the putter, which is the rice, to exempt the doug and the grain, which is chayiv. And then the Yisrael will be eating tevel, because the shem challah was never chal on the rice, which is being given to the kohen. And therefore, the dug and the grain was never fixed, because you can't take off rice as challah to the kohen, because there is no chiv of challah on rice. So therefore, although, again, there is that concern of not to be matter in front of them, because they're going to say, oh, challah, there is no chiv, I once heard rice, and they're not going to get that understanding. However, still we have to stop them because of the problem of, since they have both rice and grain over there. If they only eat rice, fine, don't stop them, because we don't want to make it worse. But, and also they're going to forget the halachas of challah. However, if they have rice and they have grain, then we're concerned, because then you're going to have that big problem about either the kohen or the Yisrael eating tevel. Now the Gemara goes back to quote what we had just said before. Gufa. Dvam hamur tarim, things which are essentially permitted. Vacherim nogam ben this. However, other people have their meaning, their custom is to say that it's forbidden. You're not allowed to go ahead and permit in front of them and say, hey, what are you doing? They're not forbidden. You're not allowed to do that. So Amr Chizah, however, Rav Chizah qualified this, and they said, B'kutayaskin, as we mentioned before, he said that's only by the Kutin. And the Gemara asked, B'kulei Amalai, you're saying this halacha doesn't apply to everybody else? But time we learn the Braisa, the Gemara asked three different questions, which it seems like that even in places which is not Kutin, it's by Yidden, by Jews, that full-fledged Jews, that still is going to be halacha that you don't tell them that it's permitted if that's the meaning that it's Aser. As the first Braisa says, Reichtzin Shnei Achen Ke'echen, two brothers are allowed to bathe together, and there's no concern about preetzes, and to say that, oh, since they're always around each other at home because they live in the same house, and now they see each other naked in the bathhouse, that then one's going to look at his brother and is going to think homosexual thoughts about him. We're not concerned about that. However, the minig was that two brothers should not bathe together, bekavel, in the city of Kavel. Umaisen, there actually was a story by Yehuda Vehil, Ban of Shem Gamliel. There was a story with Yehuda and Hill, who were the sons of Gamliel, Sherachtu Shneim Kechel B'Kavel, that they both went to the bathhouse together in the city of Kavel. V'lozalein Kalamadrin, the whole city was screaming on them. Amr, they said, Mimeinu le'ri'inu kach, we never saw such a thing. V'nishmat Hill, v'yotzel b'esachitza, and Hill slipped out of the bathhouse, and they went to the outer room, where that's where people get dressed. He didn't want to tell them that you should just know it's really permitted. He didn't tell them. So again, this is the question, that although these are people that are Jewish, however, still, even though their minig was for it to be usher, essentially it's mutter, he didn't tell them that it's mutter. That's question number one. Question number two is yeitzim b'kurkadisin b'shabbos, that a person is allowed to go out with kurkadisin, which Rashi explains, it's this type of like thin shoe that's put over the shoes on the outside to protect from water, somewhat of like a loose galoshes, which they're very wide, and we're not concerned that it's going to slip off and to come to carry from us in Rosh Hashanah. That's the Ikar Halacha. However, the in Vire, they would not go out with these loose galoshes, and that was what their minig was, that they would say that it was Aser. And again, Umaisa Behuda Vehil Bun of Shem Gamliel. Again, an incident with these two sons of Gamliel. Shiatsu Bekurkadakisin Beshabbos Bevir. That in Bevir they did go out with these loose galoshes over their shoes. Velaza Alein Hamadina. And the whole city was screaming. V'Amar, they said, Mimeinu Lerina Kach. We never saw such a thing for someone to do something like this. V'Shamtum. And they took off their galoshes. V'Nasim Lavdein. They gave it to their servants. V'Leirotsu Loimer Lehen. Again, they didn't want to tell them Mutarnatim, that you're permitted. Again, seemingly that this halacha applies not only just to Kutin, but other people, even regular Jews, that if they noig iser, you don't tell them that it's mutter. And the third question is, halacha is v'yeshvin al safsali nochem b'shabbos. One is allowed to sit on the benches of the non-Jews, that is where they would sit to sell their wares. You're allowed to sit there on Shabbos, and we're not concerned that it's a suspicion that it'll seem like that you're doing business on Shabbos. However, in Yesh Nasasali Nachrim B'Shabbos Ba'akar, however, in Akko, they would not sit on these benches on Shabbos. Umayser b'shem Gamliel. There was an incident with Rishim Gamliel sheyashav asav sali nachem b'shabes ba'akor that he did sit on one of these benches in the city of Akor. V'lazulav kamadin, and the whole city was screaming. Amr, they said, mimenu le'rinikach, we never saw such a thing. And Nishmal gabe karka, so he slipped off and he was sat on the ground. V'leirotzalamei lahen mutarnam, he didn't want to tell them it's permitted. So again, these three incidents prove that unlike what Rav Chisda said, that only applies to Katin, it applies to all Jews, that you don't tell them it's permitted if their minhag is to say that's asur. So the Gemara gives one answer that answers all these three cases, is B'nei Medina Sayam Nami. The people of the cities that are across the sea, that for them the halacha applies just like the Katin. And that is Kivan Dele Shchichi Rabban Gabai, since they don't have Talmudic scholars among them, Kikutim Damu, they're compared to the Kutim, and since they're not learned, and it's not a Makam of Torah, they will also have the same problem as Kutim, the Sarchi Mil, so they might end up saying, oh, they said that's not, it is what, it's not us, it's really not usr, and hence we don't say that anything that they're knowing to be usr, even if it's not really true, we do not tell them that it's mutter. But however, the essential halacha is like Rav Chisda, that's by Kutim, and there are those that are like Kutim, even if they're Jewish. Now the Gemara asks, on these three cases that we brought down, so Bishlem Esavsali Nachem, it's very well understood this, the benches of the non-Jews, that why in Akko, that their minig was that it should be Aser, is Mishum Demechzi Kemechichem, when they held that it does look like you're doing business deals, and therefore they although essentially halacha is that it's mutter, their minig was that it should be Aser. And we could also understand Bekuk B'dekhi Sinami, that in Biri, they said that it was us to go with these shoes, these thin shoes that would go outside the shoes, dimma mishtaf, because they were concerned that maybe it might slip off. V'as latina arba amas b'shusram, you might come to carry 4 amas b'shusram on Shabbos, and that's why he said it's us. But then the first case is the difficulty, el reichtzin my time aloy. Why is it that the first incident said that in Kabul that they wouldn't allow two brothers to bathe at one time? What's the problem with that? That was their minig. Another thing about this kid town, like within the Brisa. A person is allowed to bathe with all types of people, although that they're naked, except for one's father, and that's because when he sees his father naked, he's going to recall that that's where he came out from, and it's going to bring his heart to illicit thoughts. Similarly, v'chamov, regarding his father-in-law, he's going to see him, and he's going to start thinking about where his wife came from. Ubal imay, and his mother's husband. Ubal achaysay, and also he's forbidden to bathe in the bathhouse together with his sister's husband. Also, it'll bring to illicit thoughts. However, Behuda Matir Ba'avib Ne Kavad Avir. Behuda said that it is permitted with one's father because of the honor of one's father, and that is to so that he can serve him and help him out in the bathhouse. Behu Adin Labalim, and same thing goes for his mother's husband, that one would be allowed because of the necessity of helping them out. Now, V'asu Inhu, now the people of Kabul, they came, and they made a decree on two brothers because of brother-in-laws, because of one's sister's husband. So one might come to confuse that, and therefore they said even two brothers, not that's where the source. Although there's nothing wrong with two brothers, however, because of the concern that one might confuse with brother-in-laws, that's why they said even that's going to be us. So the Gemara says, Tanur Lina Braisa, Talmud lo yirchetzim rabbi. A student should not bathe with his rabbi, because you have to be embarrassed from the covenant and the yira that you have to have from your teacher. However, im rabbi tzorchle, however, if his rabbi needs him to help him out in the bathhouse, then what then is permitted. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha that we were mentioning on the previous daf, regarding a story that illustrates the halacha of minhag hamakom. Ki asir rabbi babrachana, when rabbi babrachana came to Bavel, achel da yisra, he ate da yisra, which is, regarding this chaylev that's forbidden, this is the forbidden fats that are in the animal, it's on the bent part of the cava of the stomach, and that is the stomach is bent, and it's like a kesher, like a boat. Now, however, regarding the fats that are by the place called the yeser, which is where it's straight, the people of Eretz Yisrael would eat that. However, the people of Bavel, their minhig was, although that it's permitted, their minhig was that it should be aser. Now, so Rabbi Bachana, he was from Eretz Yisrael, and he came down to Bavel. So these two Talmidei Chacham of Bavel came to him. So Kivin the Chazinu, once he saw them coming, that he was eating this Da Yisro, which again is permitted for him because he was from Eretz Yisrael. However, he was now in Bavel, which is forbidden for them. Kasye, he covered it. Minai, he covered that they shouldn't see. Asuva Amalei La'abaya, so they came and told Abaya what happened. Amalehu, he said to them, Shavinchu Kikutoy. He basically equated you as Kuthins. And there's, as we had said before, the Dvarim Hamutarim and others are Noig Bem Isser, you're not allowed to tell them in front of them. Now, Rav Chisda had told us, why is that? That's really essential only by Kutim and those like Kutim, which is that since they're not so learned, they might come to confuse and Serachim Milsa are going to come and be lax even in what's actually Aser. So, this that he hid it from you, although it's Mutter, this part, it's just the people above that Noig Ben Isser, he didn't want you to see, he didn't want you to be Noig Heter in front of you. He obviously equated you like a team. He was concerned that if you see this, you might be lax even what's actually Aser, and that's why he hid it from you. But then the Gemara asks on actually what he had done. V'rabba b'chana, although he hid it, but how was he even eating in the first place? Leslie Hadatan, doesn't he hold of this that we said in our Mishnah on the previous daf? We said, when someone's coming from one area to another area, and when they have different minhagim, so we said, we give on the person the stringency of the place where he came from, and the stringency of the place that he's coming to now. Now, he's in Bavel now. And in Bavel, they would not eat this Dayisu. So how was he even able to eat in the first place? Forget about other people being Noigim Mem Heter, but he can't because you have to have the stringency of the place that you came to. Abaya said, so the Gemara gives two truths. Abaya says, "Hanei mili mi bavel lebavel." That's if you're going from one place in Bavel to another place in Bavel, or me Eretz Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another place in Eretz Yisrael. And that is when you're going from city to city, in the same country. That since one area is not subservient to the other, if you're going to change the meaning of the place where you are, then it's going to cause machlekes. And definitely, inami mi bavel Eretz Yisrael, or from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, that you should not change from the minig hamakom where you are right now. Let's say you came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you should not change from the minig of Eretz Yisrael because of the machlekes. Avol me Eretz Yisrael la Bavel, but from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, which is exactly what this case of Rabbi Bachana was, which he was someone from Eretz Yisrael who came to Bavel. Then, if you change the minig of Bavel, like there's not going to be machlekes. Why is that? Kiven anan kafina lehu, since we are subservient to the people of the Talmid Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, because they have smicha, which is only applicable for those in Eretz Yisrael, but those Talmid Chacham of Bavel do not have smicha. Avdin and Kavasayu, so therefore we follow their lead. In other words, if they come from there, from Eretz Yisrael to here, they don't have to change their minig, rather they could do as their minig hamakam is in Eretz Yisrael, because we're subservient to them. It's not going to cause machlokes if we see them acting differently, because again, if they have smicha, they have this mesira of tradition of psak, which we do not have in Bavel. That's one teretz. The Gemara gives another teretz. Rav Ashi Amar, afilteim Eretz Yisrael lebavel. You could even say that when one comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, like he did, one should not change the minig hamakom. However, how was he able to eat if the minig hamakom Bavel was not to eat it? Hanemili hecha de indaiti lachzer. That's where his intention is not to go back home anymore. So once you're, this is where you are, where you're staying. So now you take on the new minhagim of the place. However, Rabbi Bachana daiti lachzer. However, he still intended to go back home, and therefore he was able to keep his minhagim of Eretz Yisrael, because that halacha of the chumras of the place where you're coming to is only if you plan on staying over there. So now on this topic, the same halacha. Amalei Rabbi Bachana lebnei. So Rabbi Bachana, who ate this da'yisra, told his son, "Bini, my son, loy teichel. You should not eat this da'yisra. Loy befonai, v'loy shalom befonai. Not even in front of me, and not for sure not in front of me. And that is because I shri isis Rabbi Yechonah shalchel. I saw Rabbi Yechonah eating this, and that is those of Eretz Yisrael. They ate this. So kedai here Rabbi Yechonah list mechalav befonav shalom befonav. So it's Rabbi Yechonah is reliable enough that now that I saw he did that, that I could eat it whether in front of him or not in front of him. Atalei Re'isai, so you didn't see him, and I'm getting the halacha from him. You never saw him. So lo teichel ben befonei ben shalei befonei. So you should not eat, since you're only learning from me, who I'm learning from someone else. I saw him, so I could do it. But you never saw him, so you can't eat not in front of me, and definitely, and not even in front of me. So which the Gemara says, a pligid the other day. However, he contradicts himself elsewhere, where he says a different version. The Amar Rabbi Bachana, where again Rabbi Bachana says, Sachli Rabbi Yechim ben Lazar. Rabbi Yechim ben Lazar told me that Pamachas nechnas de Acher Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yisi ben Lekunya Legina. I once followed Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yisi ben Lekunya into a garden. And we continue on to Amid Beis. Venotal Svichei Kruv. And he took the aftergrowth of the cabbage, and this was in the Shemitah year, which is after what's called the Zman Beer, when you have to already eliminate it, when then it's Aser to consume these things. Yet v'achal and he ate it, v'nosan and he gave to me, v'amal and he told me, b'ni my son, b'fonai achal, in front of me you can eat this, shalei b'fonai loy toichal, but however, not in front of me, you're not allowed to eat it. And that is because ani, shari isi, b'shim ben yoichi shachal, I who saw b'shim ben yoichi eating this, so kedai here b'shim ben yoichi, lismachalav b'fonav shalei b'fonav, so he's reliable enough that now I could eat it, whether in front of him or not in front of him. Ata befanei ochel. However, you can eat it in front of me. And that is, in front of me, you can rely on me, since I saw Rabbi Shimon who ate this. Shalei befanim lo teichel. Shalei befanei lo teichel. However, not in front of me, you should not eat, because, again, I only saw someone else, and you're seeing me, so only in front of me you could, but not in front of me. And that's what, as Rashi says, that is where he argues on what he himself said. Because before he said to his son, don't even eat it in front of me, although I saw someone else. And here he's saying that although I'm not reliable, because it's not from my own halach, my own logic that I'm saying it, well, I'm only relying on someone else that I saw, so then, however, you could rely on me to eat in front of me when I'm here, because I saw a great person eating, whereas before he said that even in front of me you cannot eat. So that's where he contradicts himself. Again, when you see someone who saw someone else, can you eat in front of them, or can you not even eat in front of them? That's where he had contradicted himself. Now the Gemara says, "My Reb Shimon, what is this Reb Shimon that he had told him that you could eat in front of me because I Reb Shimon ben Yoichi who permitted eating the aftergrowth of the cabbage and I saw him eat it, so I could eat in front and not in front, and you could only eat in front of me." That's the Tanakh Gulit Nabraisa. Reb Shimon says, "Kol asvich masurim, all aftergrowths are usher on the Shemitah year from the time of beer, which is when the things are no more available, when you have to go ahead and eliminate it. So even the aftergrowths have to be eliminated. Chutz misvichei kruv, except for the aftergrowth of the cabbage, where those are the leaves that come out of the stalk of the cabbage. And the reason why that's unique, where although it's already the Zman beer that you have to eliminate it, these aftergrowths you do not, and that's where we have the story where they were eating it. Because it's distinct from all the other vegetables that are in the field. As Rashi's preferred pshat says, because cabbage is never totally eliminated from the wild animals the entire winter months, and since it's always available, so there is no zman of beer for them, because that's a criteria of beer when you have to get rid of the Shemitah produce in your house, is when it's not available for the wild animals. That never gets rid, so therefore you never have to get rid of the aftergrowths of the cabbage. However, Chachamim, they say all aftergrowths, even the aftergrowth of a cabbage, is forbidden. Once the Zman Habir comes, you have to get rid of it out of the house. However, Tarvei or Libud Rebbe Kiva, they're both going in the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, but then they just argue on one nuance in this halacha. The time like Linda Brisa, there's a pasuk in Mayikra Chafei that says that people are going to say, what are we going to eat in the seventh year of the year of the Shemitah? And they're saying, because Hein Lo Nizra, behold, we have not planted anything, and we're not allowed to gather our produce either. So Amr Bekiva, Bekiva said, why does it say v'loy nesav, that we're not going to gather? What do you mean? If they already just said in the pasuk that we're not allowed to plant, so from where should they gather? You're not planting, so of course they're not going to gather. Rather, ella, that must be mikan l'svichin shein asurin. From here, we see that even the aftergrowths are forbidden. And that is, this is what the pasuk is saying. Hein loy nizra. First is saying, behold, we can't plant. That's one thing. And then also the growths that come by themselves, the aftergrowth. Even that is what they're saying, loy nizra, we're not even gather that. So for sure, what are we going to have? Food. And that's why Hashem promises, don't worry, there's going to be enough. But that's where we see that even the aftergrowth, even that which you didn't plant, which grew from itself, even that is forbidden on the Shemitah year. So what exactly do the Rabban and Reb Shimon argue about regarding the svichim of the kruv? If we say that we understand the halacha that all svichim are us, so what's the machlekes regarding the kruv? And that Rabbanan savri gazrin svichi kruv atoshra svichi di alma. Although essentially everyone agrees that there is no beer, there's no elimination for the kruv for the cabbage because it's available the entire winter months. However, it's aftergrowths the Rabban hold are going to be forbidden, and the reason for that is that people shouldn't say, oh, why are you not getting rid of the aftergrowths of the cabbage? Oh, it must be because aftergrowths, there is no problem of Shemitah on them because they grew by themselves. You didn't plant it, and therefore they're going to come to permit even the other type of aftergrowth. Therefore, the Rabban said that you're not allowed to have any. You have to get rid of all the aftergrowths because we're concerned that then they might come to permit all of them. Reb Shimon did not make such a gezerah. He's not concerned, and therefore he says that since there's no Zman beer on them, and that includes the aftergrowth, and that's not including the Isra of the Pasik of Lohen Lo Nizrav and regarding Lo Nesav, because that's only when there's Zman beer, when it's not available anymore, and that is always available in the wild for the wild animals. Nothing more continues quoting from my mission that said, someone goes from a place to the place. We said either one, you give the stringencies of both, the place that you're coming from and the place that you're going to. So now the Gemara asks a question. We very well understand the halacha that the Mishnah said that when you're going from a place that does malacha on Erev Pesach to a place that doesn't do malacha. So he said, so you get the stringency of a place that you're coming to, that is, although your minig is personally that from the place where you're from that they do, here they don't do, so you don't do. And that is because of Ayishan Adam Ne'amachlekes, a person should not deviate from the minig hamakam because it's going to cause dissension. Who is this person doing malacha? It's forbidden. V'loy levet, so therefore you don't do. However, if someone's coming from a place where they don't do malacha, and now where he is, they do malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzais. On that, it sounds like the Mishnah was saying, that it said, it concluded, said a person should not deviate from the local custom because it's going to cause a machlekes, which sounds like that you should do malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzais. But that's a difficulty because Ha'amrit, we already just said in the Mishnah, we said that you get the stringencies of whether the place that you're coming from or to. Now, if you're a place where you're coming from, they didn't do, that means you have to keep those stringencies and not do malacha before Chatzais. But how does it jive well with what the Mishnah concludes? It says, wherever you are, you don't change. If you're not changing, that means you have to do malacha. But how does that work well with the fact that we said you have to keep the chumras of the makam that you came from? So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, this that the Mishnah concluded and said, Va'al Yeshana, don't change from the minig hamakam, was only going aresha. It was going back on the first case, when you're going from a place that they do malacha to a place that don't do, then we're saying that don't change from the minig hamakam. But if you're coming from a place that doesn't to a place that does, then you will change the minig. In other words, then you will not do malacha because you have to keep the stringencies of where you came from. Rava Amar, Rava says, Lo Yilam HaSeifa. In truth, it's going even on the case of the Seifa when you're coming from a place that doesn't to a place that does. And what the Mishnah is saying is that, or if you're coming from a place that doesn't do to a place that does, you do give the stringency to the place that you came from and not to do work. And the explanation is what the Mishnah was saying when it's going on the Seifa was because in general, the whole source of the halacha, that you should not change from the minig of the city that you're in right now is only because of machlokes. And this is what the Mishnah was saying, that ein bezubim neshina machlokes. Regarding this case, when you're coming from a place that does not do malacha to a place that does do, and now by your not doing, that will not cause a machlokes. And therefore, there's no reason why you shouldn't keep the stringencies of where you're coming from. As the Gemara explains, because my ka'amrit, what would the one who sees him not doing work say? Are you going to say he's saying Haraya Aimer, the one who's seeing this is going to say, oh, that this person is saying to himself, the one that's not doing work, is saying Malacha Asura. Oh, work is forbidden. And he's arguing on us who we do work. And therefore, that's going to cause Machlekes. That's what you would say, that's why he has to work on Erev Pesach, because he's like, unlike everybody else, he's just sitting in Miss Medrash all day, or he's sitting in the lounge when everyone else is working. That is what the Gemara says, that the person will not say that. Rather, Mema Army, what the people will say, is that he has no work to do. Because there's so many just people just sitting around, idling away their time every day of the year. And therefore, the fact that he's not working doesn't say anything. No one's going to say, oh, he's probably saying that it's us, and he's arguing with us, and it's going to cause all machlek. It's not necessarily the case. They're just going to say he has nothing to do, and therefore he's sitting around. Let him get a job and do something useful with his life. He'd be working, and therefore it's not going to cause machlek. And that's what the Mishnah was saying. That since the whole minig of keeping the chumri hamakam that you're going to is based on that you shouldn't be mishana, is because of the machlek is, hence, in this case, you could keep the stringencies of the place that you came from, which is different than the place that you're going to, because it will not cause machlekes, because the fact that you're not doing work is not a raya that you hold that it's usher. It's just people are going to say, you're a batel and you have nothing to do, and therefore that's not going to cause machlekes. So again, those are two interpretations in the Mishnah. Either it's going back only on the ratio, where there it would apply, don't be mishana, because now you're coming to the place, you add on stringencies. Or the other interpretation is, no, it's even going back in the case where you keep the stringency you came from, which is different where you are, because here that halacha of Ayishana would not apply because it will not cause machlokes.